Well, my name is Hunter Kressel. I'm merely the master of ceremonies, and I'm here to facilitate your questions to the web geniuses we have up here. Mm-hmm. And
where?
They're in those boxes.
Guys. I'll start with a shameless plug, and the reason I like him seeing this is because I, too, run a web comic.
You like an Irish monk? Sorry. Sorry.
And I'm an easy target.
Shameless, thank you.
If you wouldn't mind, humbly check out www.vexar.com. Two X's, two R's. It's about the Charlie Brown of aliens, and the universe keeps stealing his football. But I just want recognition. Anyway, but I'm going to turn the panel over to five much more interesting and much more talented people than I. People I aspire to be like. And I'm going to let them.
You have low expectations, don't you?
I thrive on low expectations. I've made it this far.
You're perfect for webcomic.
But I'm going to hand it over to you guys and let you introduce yourselves and what your comic is and if you've got anything ongoing.
Okay. Well, I'm Thomas Revor. I'm one half of the creative team of Crossworlds over at crossworlds.ws, as well as the editor-in-chief of 910 Comics, home of such webcomics as The Watch, El Gunashive, Accidental Centaurs, and many, many others.
Really?
And this is
really?
Darren Brown, the artist, the other half of Crossworlds.
He's a woozle.
I draw for Crossworlds, drew for Crossworlds. I will be getting back into it fairly shortly.
Next up.
that was abrupt.
What else do I have to say?
That was more of a link.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about segues after this panel.
Great vehicles, a little hard to balance on, though.
Waz has one of those.
I'm Bill Holbrook. I do Kevin and Kel at kevinandkel.com.
My name is John Lotshaw. I am the chief cook, bottle washer, publisher, editor at Moonbase Press. We publish webcomics, including Bill Holbrook's Kevin and Kel, and we've just introduced, or we will be launching Jeff Darlington's General Protection Fault. We'll be returning to print. It's now up for pre-order. Thank you.
I'm Jenny Breeden. I do Satanic Corn.
Yay.
I mean, web comics. Yeah. And I also do a LARPing strip called Gibbous on Parade, where I run around the woods like an idiot and hit my friends with padded sticks.
Do you need a web comic for that? I've got plenty of padded sticks in my car.
You just don't have any friends.
Yeah, true.
Oh.
Hence another reason I do webcomics.
Unless I'm mistaken, this is a QA panel, and we're going to just open it up immediately, or do we want to start with current projects and things like that?
I as a moderator.
I think we just
put it on me.
We just did the government
if
project.
If they don't have any questions, then yeah, we can move on to whatever.
Well, what would you guys like to know about your favorite artists who are by default absolutely on the stage?
32, 24, 32.
Thank you and good night, everybody.
Yes.
You shouldn't be giving out my locker combination.
Oh, that's terrifying, actually.
Well, this is actually the shortest webcomics panel I think we've ever done.
We have a question! We have a question!
Well, it sounds like
Phil Donahue. He's not going to get the Donahue reference either. If he didn't get Gallagher, he's not going to get the Donahue reference.
I thought it was Murphy Brown reference.
No. You didn't get it either.
Is this working? Holy cow, it is. Because no one else was going to do anything, could you sign these? It's
okay.
It stops at pants. Just to let you know.
To.
He had a question. There's a lot of clothing in here.
Tell me it's washed.
Did you wash that first?
You did. Yes, sir.
Do you want the pants or the shirt size?
Either one.
Sharpie's not going to show up as well on this.
Okay. I already got to get Abrams to do them anyways.
Oh,
well, that's Pete. Oh,
name dropper.
So, Randall.
We were supposed to be not dropping the names up here.
Are we going to see more Choo Choo Bear sometime soon, or?
He's going to have his own spinoff series.
Very
it's
nice.
It's going to be Choo Choo Bears and the pedophile bear Care Bears.
Are we going to have a return then of the big guy who saved the teddy bears who were being given those weird
I
vagina
don't
things?
I actually read my own webcomic, so...
You were also thinking about doing one with the cat girls and the... and the redneck trees.
I understand that the cat girls are going to come back in their own Undead miniseries to compete with Walking Dead.
They're going
to
go and take out the rest of the Next Generation cast. So
that's how they got their own series.
Come on, it's easy. Just raise your hand. There we go.
What are your favorite webcomics?
Ooh.
The ones published by Moonbase Press.
Stop stealing my gags.
Gone with a Blast Wave, which I've heard is gone.
Oh, Lord. My reading list of webcomics has reached about 500 now. Yes, I have no life. Seriously, I mean, other than the stuff that is published by us over at 910 Comics and 910-910-CMX.com, and since he's not here, Pete doesn't get a mention. I really have to say, I mean, Kevin Kell, I love the writing, and Bill's got a great artistic style. I love Evil Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. By Brad Geiger.
Thank you. The man whose name I can never pronounce properly.
Counter. Geiger Counter.
I still get it wrong. They gave me several different... He's Brad. That's it. And, of course, as king of the self-plugs, Crossroads over at crossroads.ws, even when I'm not writing it and Darren's not drawing it.
What about The Watch?
That's published by 910 Comics, so yeah. I included that one in.
TheWatch.com.
Well, I'll mention Crossworlds, Accidental Centaurs, and the Devil's Panties. And a new one I just discovered by a person who just graduated from SCAD called Sister Claire. The tagline is, Pregnant Nun, Holy Crap.
Check that one out.
In addition to the ones already mentioned here, Kevin and Kel, Crossworlds, Devil's Panties, Something Positive by Randy Mullen. I like Sheldon. Evil Inc. is another good one. PvP is another one that I read frequently. And that's all I can think of right now because I've been sitting behind a table all weekend and I have brain lock. So,
do you have a brain?
No, you don't have to have a brain to brain lock.
You know, Girls Will Sing Shots in Wapsie Square, and there's...
I cannot hear you.
Sorry, I read Girls Will Sing Shots, Wapsie Square. Dar is fantastic for over 18. Let me see some children here. And her friend does Family Man, which is fantastic. It was the same character from Bite Me, I think, is the same lady that did it. Not the comic book Bite Me, but the web comic Bite Me. And Skin Deep is gorgeous, if you get a chance to check it out.
Is that Corey Bingaman?
There's a question in the back.
We got somebody on cue here, and I'll be right back to you.
Okay. How about, do you guys have any good stories from past Dragon Cons? I know Pete was telling us, was in his panel, the moderator mentioned that he'd been to 21 Dragon Cons. So do you guys have any good Dragon Con stories?
Three words, squish, squish, squish.
if you go to www.thedevilspanties.com...
I invoke my rights into the Fifth Amendment on that question.
Yeah. This is my first Dragon Con, so...
Ooh. He's a Dragon Con virgin.
I've been to about 25 Dragon Cons, going back to the mid-80s, but I'll relinquish my time so that John can elaborate on his squish, squish story.
It was 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, two years ago.
We were on a panel, and the way we were arranged, I was sitting down at the far end, and it was basically this sort of setup with a projector, and they were showing just at random the strips of the people who were on the panel. One of the people that was there was Kitty Hawk, and her strip is Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki, which is a magical strip, a magical girl spoof.
SCBY.com.
About a boy that gets turned into this magical girl, much to his chagrin. And he discovers... So, I don't remember the question. The question was, is it important anymore? But I was giving this answer, just bearing my soul to everybody. And everybody starts laughing. What's going on here? And
It
was a burst of laughter, and it just kept going. But I can't see the screen. I can't see what's going on. And what was going on was the squish, squish, squish
cartoon had come up and
he gets boobs. For
he
the
gets
first
boobs,
time.
And he discovers they're soft and they squish. So you can't compete with you can't compete with boobs. So
my question is, what do you think that the saturation point for the number of webcomics, I mean, sustainable and long-term in the web is, and how close are we to that saturation point?
How many people are in the world right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no saturation point.
Exactly. One of the things that you can see is that with webcomics, it's a matter of how much dedication, how much talent. If you're low in either one of those, you're eventually going to drop out of it. So people are going to be winnowing themselves out. The quality and the professionalism will continue to reign through, leaving us with a good crop. It's not like the black and white explosion of the 80s where we got flooded. All these things that are out there are eventually going to winnow themselves out, and there is going to be no dearth or death of webcomics.
And there will always be replacements. There will always be new ones coming in to fill, to add to the lineup, the degrees of everything that's out there. So so there is no saturation point. There is an infinite capacity for it.
That is the people who are frustrated with it, or who are they don't think that they're being appreciated enough, they usually quit. You know, that there is, everyone does a webcomic, but very few people continue to do webcomics. After about 2 years of working your ass off and not getting paid or not getting appreciated or not getting, you know, wherever it is that you want to be with it, then you usually, you know, drop out. And those of us that are institutionalized and
that's a good word for it, yeah.
Viable, good word.
Just continue, yeah. whether people are reading it or not. And so I think that it really depends on, the saturation point is an interesting term, because I think some people are doing their webcomic because four of their friends read it and that just makes them happy. And they'll keep.
And that's all that's necessary, really.
And some people have 4,000 or 400,000 readers, and they really just don't think that people truly understand them.
And then there are others. The ones I love to read are the ones that are working. They are just starting off in the business. They have goals of becoming the next Neil Adams or Michael Golden or a bunch of other names I could drop. And they're just learning the process. And so webcomics is that first step to trying out the new stuff and seeing what works and what doesn't. And yeah, the project that they have may not work out, they may drop it, but they'll pick something else up. It's going to be a terrific learning process for people.
Yeah, hopefully you never win. Hopefully you never finish. Unless there's an end to the story, beginning and end. What I adore is that I think that everyone is a fan of somebody. And I think that for a saturation point for webcomics, I hope that all artists, and this is true for any medium, will always have someone that they idolize. And I think that even the people that we think are big names in our industry, they still see other artists or other industry professionals as being beyond them, that they idolize. And I hope that we never reach a saturation point of professionals, that there's just one guy sitting on the heap going, there's nowhere else to go. I kind of hope that there's always an expanding canvas. Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud.
Scott McCloud.
He pointed out that the internet and the computer screen is an ever expanding canvas, and that we haven't even touched the bounds of that possibility. And I hope that we keep on. I hope more people do webcomics, because they'll kind of find a different take on it. It won't necessarily work or be good, but it will be a different take. And that's what I adore about webcomics, is that there's no editors, or there's no target audience, or there's no restrictions. And so you can do comics that are stick people doing math problems, and that will be popular.
Yes.
All of the people who say, oh, I can't do a comic strip because I can't draw.
Yeah, one of the most popular web comics out there is stick figures.
As long as you have an idea, you're going to succeed. You don't need financial backing. You don't need some sort of industry person.
It's cheap. Web hosting is cheap. There are free services. If you're too cheap to buy a hosting plan, there are free services out there. If you have an idea, if you have the desire to do it, it is possible for you to get a comic strip out there and get it so that the entire world can get at it.
And on the
that is side, so yeah. exciting.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, yeah. we're seeing more and more professionals, people who have been in the business for years, I'm like Bill here or Phil Folio with Girl Genius, who are coming over to the web.
Hugo winner, yeah. by the way.
Yes. Yeah. I think that Joss Whedon had shown us with Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog that this is, whether it be webcomics or something else, this is the new media. We are the ones setting the trail.
And what I adore about it is that if people like it, then you'll succeed. If they don't, then you'll fail. There was a guy who got really upset because he thought that the indie crowd and the webcomics were beating out established print media and established people who had comic book mainstream books. And he couldn't really win me over because I was sitting there going, yeah, we're going to beat them out if they're not good. And he was so indignant about the fact that there were people who did mm-hmm. certifiable mm-hmm. comic books who were going to lose their jobs because us upstarts were coming and taking their jobs from them. And I was like, yeah, if they suck.
And there's a lot of that in the newspaper strip industry as well. A lot of people are scared by it, but there are a lot of people who are very excited about it, about the possibilities. And Tom's right. This is the new medium. We are creating it. We are where they were where Orson Welles with radio back in the 30s, or Rod Serling with live television in the 50s. We're creating it. We're setting the rules. And the first rule is there are no rules.
Well, a nice thing about it also is that you can have personal problems for a whole year, miss your deadlines, and not get fired.
but that be said, a regular updating schedule is the best way to build an audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That if
absolutely.
You
amen.
That if you even update once a week, as long as your readers know that it's coming once a week, and like every Sunday
they'll
or every Monday,
they'll come back for it.
They will come back to it, and you'll build that audience as long as it's regular.
My brother turned to me and said, "You know, I don't really like your comic strip. I don't identify with it. I don't think it's funny." And I was like, that's perfectly okay. You know, it's not for everybody. It's what I think. It's not what he thinks. He came back a year later and he said, yeah, but I still check it every day because there's something new. Every day. Yeah. Even though I think it sucks, I still read it.
Yeah. There's a niche for everything out there. No matter what you do, no matter what you like, there will be somebody who reads it. You may get one or two or five readers, but that's one or two or five people who are enjoying what you are doing, and that's something to take pride in, period.
And also, it's not just your friends. It will be somebody from the other side of the planet. You'll get an email from Saudi Arabia or from France
or Russia saying
I really like your comic. I found it on a Google search and I really enjoy your comic. And you get this letter from someplace that they even have electricity there. Wow.
or somebody from Russia that says you suck, but you know.
Yeah.
But they read it.
Yeah.
But they read
absolutely.
It.
There's an actual question.
How would you define webcomics versus a comic that's posted online or just pictures with a narrative?
They're
really the same thing.
Yeah, it's no difference.
You mean you're saying like an illustrated story when you say pictures with a narrative?
No, do you say like Batman or comic that is scanned in and posted on the internet?
Like, I don't remember the name. It's the webcomic where it literally is pictures with a word here and there. A softer world.
It sounds like a webcomic.
Yeah. No. Family Circus is a one panel with a little caption underneath it. That's what you're talking about. And that's printed.
Well, with webcomics, again, you probably don't have a boss. So you can do whatever the heck you want. And if people don't like it, stuff them.
I think it might make a difference on where it comes from. I think that Mouse posted online or Watchmen posted online would be a book that is a new form of distribution. I think that originally it was a graphic novel.
Yeah.
And so I think that there might be that difference.
I would say that the definition would be sequential art that is created specifically for distribution over the internet as the primary means of distribution.
Yeah. Initial.
That's what I mean by primary. The first place that it goes is on your website. It can then get collected into comics. It could get printed in the newspaper. It could end up in other places. But where you create it, what you're creating it for, and where your audience is going to see it first, will be on the web.
Not WowieO.
Well, I mean, like Phil Folio, again, he started in print and went to web.
Girl Genius was a failure successfully, was a failure initially in print.
Yeah, but I would consider Girl Genius to be a webcomic because what he's doing now does not go to a printer first, it goes to his server first. Yeah. That's a webcomic.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Next question.
Thank you for your answer. My question is this. I know a lot of people are starting webcomics because, like you said, they have friends who read it or they're just having fun or they're interested in the art. There are those, however, who are starting webcomics because of the success of, well, a specifically really big webcomic that has done very, very well. Do you guys think that that niche is filled now?
No.
Or do you think there could be another webcomic as successful as that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
More successful.
Traditionally, comics were thought of as kind of a zero-sum game. In order for one to gain, another has to lose because you were having to compete for space in a newspaper. And then space was a limited resource and got more and more limited as time went on. But in order for you to get into the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, something had to get dropped. With webcomics, it's not a zero-sum game. You can just keep adding more webcomics on. So, yes, there is that. And actually, there's the opportunity to specialize, to be the biggest comics in a certain genre or in a certain interest area, gaming, quantum physics jokes, things. Yeah, we know which ones I'm talking about.
Homicidal bunny jokes.
I do think that if your goal is to be as big as such and such, then you shouldn't try to do a comic strip like that, because on one hand, that's already filled.
Yeah, find a niche and scratch it.
Do your own comic.
Abbott Costello joke. Yeah.
Most webcomics make their money off of either advertising or merchandising or both. Don't compare it to paper comics. Compare it to TV. TV had three networks. Now it has more than I can count, which is higher than five.
But each one fills a niche. I mean, Oxygen, you know what you're going to be watching. Mm-hmm.
But also, go through, I mean, as Bill said, original ideas. I mean, when Penny Arcade came through, I mean, two people sitting on a couch playing video games, talking about video games. There was a glut of people who decided they were successful. I can do it with the exact same formula. Come up with your own formula. Come up with your own original thing. If it's a unique twist on it, and if the quality is there, quality is always going to be big, but not the only thing in there, you're going to be successful. Yeah. Maybe not as successful, maybe more successful. You don't know. Take a risk. Try it.
You will always be compared to someone else.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, I just want to say, if you have an idea for a webcomic...
Okay, go one down here.
And you have a idea whether to do it or not, I would have you ask yourself, can I not do it? Is it possible for me not to do it? And if you can't stop yourself from doing it, launch the comic, and it shows that you have a heart and soul behind it.
Okay.
I'm trying to do a webcomic online, but I'm just starting out, and do you have any advice for people who are trying to do webcomics, just like starting out?
Go to 910cmx.com. We'll be more than glad to help you out.
Do you already have a space to post your webcomic? Okay, and now do you already know how to get the pictures online? Are you trying to get readers there? But any preliminary advice?
One piece of advice, and this is actually pretty huge. When people go to your comic, the very first thing that they should see on the page is your comic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not an advertisement page, not a page saying, this is my comic, click here to see it. They should see today's comic. as the first thing. I've seen so many others that don't do that.
Yeah, no
really
splash pages, no flash intros. They're there for the comic, and that's what they're going to be there for.
People have a limited attention span, especially on the internet. If they can't find your comic within 2 seconds, you've lost them.
And no matter what, I mean, there are a lot of people who say just the opposite. Don't try to do it alone. I mean, it's going to be rare you can find someone who can write, draw, manage the web pages, write the software, do the advertising. There are other people out there. Build support staff. If you try to do it all yourself, you're going to lose interest very quickly.
Yeah.
If you can't figure something out, be it coding or be it, you know, whatever, go online and do a, you know, how do I post, you know, I couldn't figure out how to paste a picture in a forum, and I just, you know, went online.
Make friends, though. Sorry.
Yep.
The webcomic industry is, for the most part, for the same part, isn't competing with each other. There's enough people.
Is there a webcomic that you like?
Make friends.
That's one that you read regularly. Do you have a webcomic that you like to read regularly? You know, something that you like to read. Then I'd send an email to the person that does that webcomic and say, I like your webcomic and I want to do one of my own. How did you do these things? And I bet you they'll probably be happy to write you an email back giving you some of the answers.
But also don't get an answer or you get a bad answer, don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
If this is something you want to do, don't let anything stop you from doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get a lot of people who say, this is awesome, keep doing it. And you're going to get one or two people who are going to say, you suck.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably a lot more than one or two.
You don't even have to respond to them. Just delete them. Either that or say, wow, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Or
you have a nice
life.
Or
trolls.
Or what's really fun is send them one back that says, thank you for reading the website, for reading the comic. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Oh, and you will, without fail. I've gotten maybe 7 or 8 of these emails that are tirades. I mean, just, you suck, you're terrible, you know, you're the female equivalent to the man show.
Yeah.
How is that bad?
Let me actually.
And the thing is, without fail, I've written back and said, you know, wow, I'm sorry you feel that way. Thanks for reading the comic. You know, bye. And every single one of them wrote back and said, wow, you read my email. Well, I didn't really mean you suck. What I meant by that.
Yeah,
every
let me expand.
One of them was like, no, I really do like your stuff.
Let me expand off of that. One of the comics I work with called The Watch, thewotch.com, written by Ann Onus and drawn and colored by Ann and Robin Erickson, got featured on a couple of websites by the name of Something Awful and Portal of Evil. This caused us to scramble because we started getting hit by trolls in our forums. We literally, our sites were being attacked. Fortunately, we have, again, don't do it yourself. We have a crack staff of people who work on this stuff, including professional programmers. Mm-hmm. This turned out to be a godsend, because for every troll that tried attacking us or posting their stuff, we had 20 people who read this stuff and said, this comic isn't that bad. I like this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you want this to happen.
Yeah.
But silver lining time. Mm-hmm. There will always be something good that comes out of it, even if you have a ton of people saying that your comic stinks, you're doing this wrong, there will usually be a nugget of gold in each of those things that says, maybe I can improve that way.
It's no bad publicity.
But if you're starting a comic for the first time, you haven't gotten it up yet, but you're starting, the biggest, the most important ground level thing that you need to do is post regularly.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're going to do it once a week, you probably want to try 3 times a week. Whatever you choose, post regularly, even if it's the night of and it's supposed to go up. So you write on a piece of paper, you draw a little sad face and say, I'm really sorry, sad face.
Put something up.
You know, I wanted to eat too much ice cream, and you know, there's a really good TV show on,
and
ants ate my house. I had somebody say their favorite comic strip of mine was something I drew with the mouse on the screen that said, I'm at the beach. And I drew a little crab in the shot.
they said, that's my favorite comic strip. And I was going, really?
How do we get back to low expectations?
So just post regularly, no matter what it is. Even if you think it sucks.
Yes.
Go just regularly.
Good evening. Thanks for coming out. I'm interested in what the economic model is. I mean, there's
good night, everybody.
wait, we're supposed to get money for this stuff?
I mean, there seems to be a problem with papers now, like the Washington Post, the New York Times, being able to make money off of the web, and I'm wondering if you guys have figured that out.
No.
No, nobody has, to be honest.
Actually, I launched Kevin and Kel in 1995, and since then I've been through every single business model that webcomics have, with the exception of one. I haven't charged for content. I've not done micropayments.
Fairies and unicorns.
Yeah. That's the one thing. I haven't gone there, but I've done everything else. It started out on CompuServe back in the mid-90s. I was selling it to CompuServe forums for a few dollars a week. That collapsed. By that time, Plan 9 had launched book collections of Kevin and Kel. Banner ad revenues were bring in some money. Then in the early 2000s, there was no more banner ad revenue. And then I turned to the patrons. This is what's called begging. I went to my readers and said, I need you to help support me. And I launched...
Yes. The king of begging.
Yes. But I launched Kel's Angels.
Yeah.
And they have supported Kevin and Kel since 2001.
So once upon a time, there was a very angry, bitter young man. And he made an angry, bitter comic. And one day, he got one too many angry, bitter emails. And so he went onto his webcomic and he said, that's it. If one more person complains about my spelling, I don't identify with this at all.
No.
If you really want me to be going, you know, I go to work 8 hours a day and I come home and I draw a comic for free for you, ungrateful people.
Oh, and don't forget what he did for a living at the time.
Oh, something horrible.
He worked for a company that denied... Medicare benefits to people. And he was the guy on the phone who had to tell them that they weren't getting any money for the hospital, for the ambulance ride.
So he was a little miffed when he would come home to these angry emails saying, you didn't spell this right, you suck.
Yeah, you didn't spell the right, you know.
And he says, fine. In a fit of desperate, just frustration, he says, fine, if you really want me to spend my time spell checking this stuff as well, why don't you just pay me a year's salary? Ha ha ha.
Well, look at the joke's on now.
One month later, he had to take down his PayPal donation button because people were giving him too much money. Now, on the flip side of this, he got a year's salary, and at one point he was going on a vacation for something, I don't even remember what he was leaving for, but he got an angry email from somebody saying, there were donations, your readers are paying your bills, how dare you go on vacation? Our money. And he said, I'm so sorry, how much money did you donate, I'll refund it. And they said, oh, well, I didn't pay any money.
Now, please notice that when we talk about the success stories in webcomics, we're talking about comics that have been around for quite a while. If you make $10 or $20 a month doing a webcomic, consider yourselves lucky.
Especially at the beginning, yeah.
It takes a few years.
Mm-hmm. I did it for about 2 years before I started getting a good fan base, and I did it for about four to five years, and I mean updating every single day. Drawing a comic every day and giving it away and going and having a day job to pay the bills. After about 4 or 5 years, I started getting about $100 a month from working 8 hours a day on this. And then it took me 6 years. Mm-hmm. I was able to quit my day job, and I was making about $1,000 a month.
Jenny said the key phrase right there, building your fan base. When you start off a comic, nobody knows who you are. Regular updates, setting expectations and keeping those updates, being friendly with other people, sending stuff out to other webcomics and trying to build a relationship with them. This is very important. John will tell you, and I'll use an example from us. Accidental Centaurs was just a little bit less than moderately successful when...
I wouldn't say that.
A lot less than moderately successful.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking.
When he did a crossover with this other comic book, webcomic called
The
Watch.
It was The Watch.
Back to The Watch. And because of that, and because of the storyline written by some genius, AC immediately climbed a number of readers, immediately started getting some more donations.
My readership tripled as a result of that because I was exposed to additional people.
How long were you guys working on the strip?
Oh, Lord, the crossover. When I talked to Ann and John about the initial plot, it was from initial story idea to initial plot. Was
how long had you been doing your web?
Accidental Centaurs had been running for about 3 years.
3 years,
that point.
And Watch was
about
two and a half years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So working on it for several years before you even start having.
A simple trick to get crossovers, so to speak, is do fan art for people. They might post it, and if they do,
it was a question down here. Okay. Yeah.
But ask their permission.
We're just waiting for you. So.
Okay.
One thing I've noticed reading Scott McCloud is you get this impression that if you put a comic on the web, it had better be, you know, darn tailored to the web. You'd better have little animations in the comic and infinite canvas. And if it is suitable for printing, then, you know, it's not really a web comic.
Scott McCloud thinks a lot about things, which can be good, but sometimes he thinks too much.
Yeah. In fact, he at one point he had a... comic essay series called I Can't Stop Thinking. That's great. It's wonderful. It's on a theoretical basis. But, as a great man once said, in theory, there's no difference between theory and practice, but in practice, there is.
Thank you, Yogi.
Thank you, Yogi Berra. Yeah. Yeah, it would be great if we could all have these great animations and these infinite canvases where you can zoom in and zoom out and rearrange stories and everything. But
some of that's like money.
Mortgages like money.
And there are comics like that, and they're great. They're wonderful. They push the boundaries of what the technology can do.
But they're not daily.
and what we're that's really a different genre from what we're doing up here. We're basically taking conventions that people are familiar with and adapting them to the web and continuing to providing daily product.
But more than people are familiar with, that we're familiar with. I'm comfortable writing comic book layouts. Bill does a gag a day strip, a newspaper size strip, because I'm sure that's what you like and that's what you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's something that you have to be comfortable with as well as your readers. Mm-hmm. Something that's radically new is going to be like laser discs. Mm-hmm. Great idea, 20 years too early. Your readers have to be there with you as well.
Let me correct what I said about fan art. When you're doing fan art, don't put it on your own page. That's not what I meant. I mean, send it to somebody and they might post it.
Do a filler strip. Fan
art, fillers.
Filler strip means that they get a vacation from doing their comic strip.
Yeah.
I'm coming for a slightly different angle here, but I feel the advice might
be
helpful. Huh?
45 degrees?
About. I feel.
Right after this question, let's do black shirt, white shirt.
And then.
I've got a green shirt here too.
Yeah, she's had her hand up.
And then corset.
Yeah, let's run all across the room.
So they can put their
But primarily working alone, how do you avoid burnout easily? How do you avoid burnout? This is a
good night, everybody.
You might not. I did. And I had a lot of things that caused me to basically not draw for the last year. And I'm starting to get out from under it, but burnout was a big part of it.
Personally, I go back to my nice, peaceful, quiet job at the post office. Cleaning my gun. Waiting for the day. That one person asked that one question.
Where do you get your ideas?
Well, as far as burnout's concerned, I've done On the Fast Track since 1984 daily, Safe Haven since 1988 daily, Kevin and Kel since 1995 daily. Hasn't happened yet.
Did you say 1984?
He's a machine.
Yes.
Fast Track.
Yeah, nobody in here mentioned how old they were in 1984.
The way I dealt with burnout was I went into the publishing business. So I was doing something a little bit different, and actually that did work for me because I was able to build the publishing, help Bill get Kevin and Kel back in print and some other things in print, and I'm going to be relaunching my webcomic Exynal Centaurs in January.
Yay!
Thank you.
Sometimes
your checks are in the mail, but in this case, it wasn't that it was so much that I was burned out. The characters that I had became so real to me that I couldn't not tell their story. It's what Bill was saying. If you can't not do the strip, if you can't not tell jokes about these characters, tell stories about your characters, then you shouldn't be doing it because you're not going to have the passion to keep it up or come back to it if you have to set it down.
Try something different as well. The late lamented Pete Abrams took a lot of Pete because he was starting to burn out on Sluggy Freelance, and he did this strip in place of Sluggy called Oceans Unmoving. Mm-hmm. Beautiful work.
Had a bun in it.
Yep. But it was something different than he normally does with Sluggy. Sometimes changing gears will help you out with that as well. And if you take a lot of heat for it, consider that you're the one who's doing the strip, not them. You have to do things different every
time. Yeah, you can then pull a Randy Milholland and say, well...
Again.
If you know, put up or shut up.
Well, go ahead and get her first, yeah.
That's only because she's got a box. Looks fabulous.
Okay. I'm going to try and not blow everybody's ears out because I've been sitting in my speaker all night, which is a stupid idea. My question was...
You got you in front of an audience?
True statement. My question was, with a lot of the more active online marketing lately, like Twitter and Facebook and all the stuff that people like to talk about at social media marketing events, do you think it might be easier to get notice and readers and recognition now than it was maybe whenever y'all were starting out?
Those
and
are how excellent tools.
Yeah, yep. And how would that really help?
Those are excellent tools, but I also say it's back to oversaturation. If somebody does one thing, they're unique. If everybody does something, you're lost in a crowd. Part of it is you need to do the stuff to keep up with the crowd, but also don't let it take over everything.
And the hardest part of launching a web comic is getting started, is getting that initial first batch of readers. And Twitter is not going to help you if they don't know that you're doing a web comic. And how are they going to know you're doing a web comic unless they're reading the web comic? So it is a catch-22 situation. That was a book written before you were born. So, sorry.
I've seen the movie.
About the time Don, it was a Donahue thing. Anyway, that's going to be the hardest thing to do. Once you start and you start getting some, then those tools can really kick in because of the social aspect and the networking aspect. They can, your readers can then start bringing other people in, telling people about it. Hey, you need to friend this person, or you need to start following this Twitter feed, mm-hmm. and so on. And it becomes a good way to announce what you're doing as well to your audience. But they don't, unfortunately, they still have that chicken and the egg problem of how do you get started.
Advertising is very good, but you have to have something to advertise.
Yeah. I definitely think that the Twitter and the Facebook and the MySpace and all of that is really good for letting people know about conventions that you're going to or merchandise that you're coming out with and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think it's going to get you new readers. I think the new readers is other people on Facebook.
It's going to keep your readers.
Oh, my God, did you see this comic that this girl posted today? It has to do with, you know, the cooking technique that I've been working in class, or the rock that we've been excavating, or some of the very niche things that people go nuts over and geek out over.
One, sometimes it's good, though, to put your art on different mediums, like DeviantArt, have a couple pictures there. People know you from that. Go to check out your webcomic. Again,
Mozart.
Networking is very important, especially if you have friends and you can do crossovers or just fillers.
DeviantArt is a great thing. There are a couple of things like Top Web Comics, which is a voting system, which personally I don't like because it does seem to be rather skewed. But people will go through the lists and take a look at some of the obscure things or the low voters. But again, my personal feeling is that it's not worth the time.
Mm-hmm. I disagree because it's free advertising.
Be prepared to have your stuff taken. It's not necessarily stolen. It's people going, hey, this is really funny. Download, put it on my site. I'm going to show other people that this is really funny. When you're starting the webcomic, when you start drawing it and putting it up online, put your URL at the bottom because people aren't necessarily maliciously stealing it. They want to show other people this funny joke.
And a copyright notice.
Yeah,
a copyright notice.
If you put it at the bottom, then it's advertising.
And ask for a link.
What you guys were saying earlier about the not doing it alone, I know me personally, I want to start a webcomic. I have started a webcomic. I just kind of drifted by the wayside because the drawing part of it was more draining than the actual writing because I feel I'm a little more capable with words than I am with lines. So what advice can you give if you want to collaborate with somebody as finding that artist or finding that writer? If you do want to gather a collaborative effort, what advice would you give to seek that help out?
How much money do you have? And actually, I say that seriously. Because there are a lot of, if you're a writer looking for an artist or an artist looking for a writer, you will get what you pay for. A lot of times, you'll get better than what you paid for. I was fortunate enough to have Darren say, yeah, I'll do a webcomic with you, and his art is phenomenal. There are other artists who want money for work that is less than par. So, DeviantArt is a great site where they will have artists who say, yeah, I'll do commissions, I will do pages for this amount of money. If you really want to get started in it, sometimes having your script together or having some art examples and then finding someone and saying, yeah, I am willing to pay you or I'm willing to give you a share of the donations and money that comes in from advertising, that's a big start.
Contract.
Mm-hmm. Contracts are important.
Yes. Turn to the artist and say, because it's your baby and it's your work, say, turn to the artist and say, I'm paying you such and such for this piece. And then it's mine. I get to make T-shirts out of this. I'm going to put it into a book. I'm going to do a calendar.
As what's known as work for hire, in legally speaking.
I actually have one of those. Customers suck. I don't claim customers suck as a webcomic. I do because I don't do any of the work for it other than drawing it. There's a guy who runs my forum in England has a forum that he opened called Customers Suck where people rant and rave about their work day, and he takes those stories and sends them to me as a script. And I draw them, and he pays me $20 a strip, and I send it back to him.
Out of curiosity, is your name on the credits, at least as the artist? Because that is something that's important, too, is giving the proper credit as well as the money. They may not own it, but that credit is very important, too.
Is there a link to Devil's Panties on that?
On the bottom of each comic strip, there is Devil's Panties and Customer Suck on
Excellent.
Each one.
Excellent. Good.
Great. Good.
But, yeah, it's something that I don't have to work on. white shirt up here.
Yeah.
Raise your hand.
Oh,
sorry, there's a lot of white. Wow.
There were a couple of cameras. There were more than one white shirted camera.
All right. I just had a question kind of addressed to all of you about your backstories. Because you guys are describing doing these webcomics is kind of like this insane mania that you guys have. I was wondering what led to you. You know, what is it something in your
what
childhood?
Is trauma.
Yeah. Why are you guys self-destructive like this?
Well, you see, I was rocketed to this planet from a dying world.
Sorry, guys. No.
Seriously, I mean, we all, I'm sure, have fascinating tales. I actually got into this because when I was a kid, I grew up around newspapers, and I learned writing, and I became a news reporter for radio at an early age, started doing radio plays, as well as being a long-term comic fan. It's always been a dream to do a comic book. To me, webcomics is my dream fulfilled. I am doing a comic. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I will take that entire experience that I've had and all of the learning that I've had so far and turn it into something that I consider magical.
I've been doing comics on and off for quite a long time, but had some real problems with editors that either, this story's all right, but, ooh, you do porn. And I got sidetracked into furries for a while. That's a whole different rant. And finally, I've got a comic strip that I can show my family, and I have control over, and people in fursuits don't assault me for it.
Well, I've wanted to do comics since I was reading Peanuts in the 1960s, and
it's just
always been my passion. And you know, I launched 2 syndicated strips, but in the mid-90s, I wanted to take advantage of what the internet had to offer for a comic strip, which in my mind is the existence of archives, because that means you can tell longer and more complicated storylines than you can in a newspaper strip. Because in a newspaper strip, you just have that day's strip in front of you. And if you tell a story, you have to assume the readers are coming into it cold. With a webcomic, they can go back and see the previous week, the previous month, the previous years, and you can tell longer and more complicated stories and not lose the readers, because they have everything right when just a few clicks away. So I want to take advantage of this, and that's what led to me to create Kevin and Kel.
Well, like Bill, I was inspired by Charles Schulz. I learned how to draw by copying the peanuts out of the newspaper, and I studied film and television, so that there was peripheral connection to that. But finally realized that what I was really truly happy doing was not editing car commercials, but was drawing comic strips. Well, not for used car dealers on local cable, so no.
Hey! Come down to L. Marie Ford. Free balloons and hot dogs for all the kids.
I've got one question. We're getting close on time, so let me squeeze this question in and be forceful. Right, okay. we end on the half hour? This half hour? Or are we a 2-hour panel? Or are we over at midnight?
2 hours.
Anybody know?
I think
it never ends.
Until Thursday.
There's another.
Oh, we go to 10?
10.
Oh, screw it. Now we got all the time in the world.
Woo! We have until 10, okay. He says.
Okay.
Hey,
take us out. Jay has an.
Okay, my question is.
Wait, nice shooting, Dex.
No, I'm making angry eyes at the guy behind you.
Oh, okay.
They're attractive angry eyes.
Sweet talk.
I
think
about my notes. I actually had like a form. Sorry, now it fills up too much. No, I just wanted to. What was the question?
You're on my story.
Sorry, the inspiration. I wanted to make comics and comic shops. I read ElfQuest and X-Men and Conan, and I went into college to draw comic books, and I saw web comics as a way to just draw every day while I was on my way to the comic book. And I finally did get a comic book in comic shops, and it sucks because you don't get paid for that. You get paid for the web comic. After that question, why don't we go to... Wait, let's do this. Hold on.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Gamer black shirt, sunglasses on head, and yellow shirt.
Okay. My question's sort of elaborate, but it breaks down into what does the fan base look like? Because from an outsider's perspective, now that webcomics have sort of exploded and there's so many titles, it seems nobody can read all of them, and now it seems like the fan base is sort of developing into little cliques. You'll go into... forums and say, hey, what other webcomics should I read? And like 30 suggestions will come up, and everyone sort of reads 28 of these 30, and there doesn't seem to be a great deal of crossover between these cliques. So is the fan base developing into sort of individual cliques based on either maturity or subject matter or style or something like that?
Well, maturity is not a phrase that I normally associate with webcomics.
Mature webcomics are a different matter altogether.
Yeah.
I think that that people read the comics that they identify with. I identify with Girls in the Slingshots, and I identify with... I used to read Strangers in Paradise, just because I kind of... It was something that I could see, you know, happening. And I think that same goes with webcomics, is that people read stuff that they can recognize and think is funny, and they see a part of themselves in it, which is, as far as the how I see fandom, is that I see parts of myself in everyone, because they see parts of themselves in what I do. And so I think that cliquish, I think it's only as cliquish, you know, that all stereotypes are based in reality. I think that you get cliques of fans because they're all identifying with the same thing. Yeah. So I think it's both true and false.
But you also don't have to let those stereotypes, those square pegs with round holes, define who or what you enjoy. There is a big difference between Devil's Panties, which I read, as opposed to XL Centaurs or Kevin and Kill or Sluggy Freelance or Least I Can Do, or, and I can go on and on. There are some similarities in some of them, but the wide range of stuff out there, there's a lot of good stuff, there's a lot of bad stuff, but definitely don't let what somebody else's preconceived notions affect you.
I know I should read Penny Arcade and PvP, but I actually don't read PvP or Sluggy.
I can't read PvP anymore. I mean, I know I'm probably going to get booed, but I think that Scott Kurtz has become, and God bless him because he's a fellow Hoosier, has become the modern Jim Davis, because it's a comfortable strip, but it's occasionally funny now, not what it as funny as it used to be. No boos.
No one booed.
Yeah.
You have to try harder.
But my pitchfork sales have gone down now.
Oh. Okay.
So entering into any endeavor, it's making mistakes is inevitable. What are some easy to make mistakes that you would give us that you could advise us against making?
Not updating on a regular schedule.
I think that's the third time we've said that.
Yeah, I mean, we can't
say it more often.
Emphasize that, yeah.
Don't archive at 72 DPI.
Yeah.
Someday you might want to put it into an actual print book, and print takes about 600.
Is that the voice of experience?
Yeah. I had to redraw my first year of comic strips. Always put your URL at the bottom.
And the copyright.
And a copyright.
And a copyright.
Yeah. Don't expect to be a financial success overnight. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, well, can you make me this donation meter and set it for $1,000? No, how about I set it for $50 and let's see what we can get.
Well, yeah, you could, but you're not going to like the results.
I would much rather see a $50 meter full, which looks impressive to people, than a $1,000 meter that's got this little bitty sliver of color down there.
I had this question prepared all about, like, declining readership of newspapers, but I'm going to do something else. As an aspiring webcomic artist, something I know I've struggled with is the thought that it's more important to be funny than to have good art. And as my strength is art and not humor, I found myself pretty much working with other writers. And I'm attempting for the first time to start my own comic, which I'd be writing. And I was wondering if you had any advice.
If I answer this question last.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm more of an artist than I am a writer, which is why I based it on reality, so that I don't have to have any imagination. I just document. But I have found that if I have a comic strip that I think isn't as funny, then I'll try to beef up the art to make up for that, and vice versa. Well, that you never think that it's funny? Is that your frustration?
I don't have a lot of confidence in my writing.
Well, and what's amazing is neither do I. I'm not confident in yours, but in mine. I don't think that I'm very funny either. I really have no confidence in my own writing skills. But somehow people still think it's funny. So you will always be surprised and amazed by what the people think is funny or not. Go ahead and do it. Draw it. Write it. Put it up. And then see where that takes you as far as the readers. Because the readers will say, oh my God, this is the funniest strip I've ever seen. And you were sitting there going, yeah, that was supposed to be, you know, that was supposed to be dark satire about the death of my mother. You will spend 20 hours working on one piece that no one will care about. And then you'll spend 20 seconds on one piece that is just a cop-out filler, and people will love that. So go ahead and do all of it and see what happens.
Do you have anyone who gives you feedback or that you can turn to for feedback?
Wow. That you trust.
I get a lot of feedback from my friends, but other than that, you know. Yeah, I trust you.
Well, if you know somebody that you know is going to give you the unvarnished truth, if you, they're not going to say, "Oh, I think this is great," just to humor you. That if they say they like it, then you know they like it, or they're going to tell you when it sucks. Well, then do some strips, show that to them. Take the ones that they say are good. Ask them what's good about this. Ask them what's bad about this. Ask them what's good in the bad ones. Mm-hmm. And then build on that and redo them and develop new ideas and keep doing it. you got some excellent advice from a great source on that.
Yeah, that, well, that, that's what Charles Schulz told me once. It was in 1982. I took a trip out to Santa Rosa to visit my relatives, and they set up a meeting with me and Charles Schulz, and that was his advice. Just keep doing strips and build on what works.
I'm going to be the first one to admit, I'm a horrible artist. They've taken away my crayons. I'm that bad. But I'm a writer. So I know that comics, whether they be comic books, comic strips, web comics, whatever, are a visual medium combination. I was fortunate enough to be paired with Darren here. But it's a synergy. Find what you like. Do what you like. And get advice, as I said, from not just from your friends. Because your friends will be, well, I want to be nice. Most of them will be want to be nice. Others, like John, will tell you which bridge to jump off of. But also send it out to other people. I mean, we said before, a lot of the people in the webcomic communities are very friendly, very open, will say, I like this. I don't like this. Here's how you can improve. So get advice from others in the business as well. We are a business, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That implies paychecks. when you finish a strip, go to someone who isn't familiar with it. Or, you know, sometimes I would have my mom read them. Go hand the strip to someone and say, read this to me. And having somebody who hasn't read it before, they'll read it out loud. And that way, sometimes you think something is obvious, they're gonna be lost on it. There was a guy who, in a comic class that I took, when the professor would use a phrase, there was a panel that a guy drew that was this. And the whole class was looking at it and going, I have no idea what that is. It was a circle in a square. And the guy said, no, can't you see what it is? And still, they were like, I have no idea what that is. And the artist said, it's a spaceship landing on a building.
Oh, yeah.
It was obvious to the writer, but it was completely lost on everybody else. So hand it to somebody and have them read it to you out loud. Mm-hmm. And that way you can see what's obvious and what's completely mm-hmm. lost.
And also, you'll probably be hearing it for the first time. You'll realize, wait a minute, did I write that? No, that's not what I meant.
One of the best insults I had ever heard was from Harrison Ford, who was so disgusted with George Lucas one time, he said he would tie him down and make him read his own dialogue.
But I was going to go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Read your stuff out loud. Have somebody else read it out loud. If it doesn't sound good spoken, it's not going to read well on the paper.
So a lot of print comics go through reams of authors. Do you think with really popular webcomics in a few years, we're going to start seeing, like, you know, stick figures published under XKCD talking about biochemistry written by someone else? Or do you think artist ownership is going to prevent that?
In a way, it's already being done. Darren and I have done a couple of guest strips for John. Mm-hmm. The Watch has had several new writers and artists come in and do strips during times when Anne was having problems.
Sluggy and Freelance, Sluggy Freelance, Where Are You?
Yeah. I mean, with the exception of Bill, I think we're all going to have times where we have to have time off. So, very possibly. Again, it depends upon the level of success you achieve.
Isn't there a few web comics out there that are just... it's a random author and writer each
What's
time.
What's the one with the dinosaur?
Fans went through a couple of artists.
Comics. Yeah. Dinosaur comics, yeah, where it's basically four panels of the same scene of two dinosaurs.
Clip art.
Everyone sends in a new story idea. There was one which was being hosted on 910 Comics called Troop 37, where it was a collaborative effort. New people would come in, people would leave, and they would vote on the story idea, and that would be done.
There was another one, I can't remember what the title of, what the name of it was, but he would take the spam that he would receive in his spam filter, and then the weird subject titles that he used to try to get around the spam filters,
wasn't that Strong Pad?
You know, electric carpets make this go faster, or something like that, and he would illustrate that weird phrase. There are examples of other what you're talking about. So
yes,
are you guys here for web comics or here for the next thing? For the web comics. There's some seats up here at the front with the splatter shield.
There are a few over here as well, and some in the middle.
Are we at the end of the questions?
Okay. Ray, we have questions. Did you ever get?
Hey.
Okay.
We still haven't gotten her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just wondering what kind of publicity outlets there might be that are that you would recommend, comic hosting sites or something.
How much money?
And
do
where
have?
You might get some kind of outside perspective.
Do you mean
like King Spot or?
Advertising more, I guess.
How do you get new readers?
Yeah, people that outside of your own friends their friends and
one,
whatnot.
One good way, if you're wanting to advertise your webcomic, a good way to do this is with Project Wonderful. Project Wonderful is a wonderful project that was thank you. That
project
was it's an ad system where you bid on space on websites it's not just webcomics, there are all kinds of websites that are using, but it's very, very popular in the webcomic community. Prices are very, very reasonable, and you're basically on a rotating bid. So somebody could outbid you, but you can set up that you want to bid up and automatically bid and things like that. But it's
on random
and
pick a whole bunch of different webcomics. And
yeah.
So you put a banner on your site and people bid on advertising.
And you make money on your site.
And you don't have to limit your advertising to your own genre. I mean, if you want to, you've got a there's one comic that a friend produces called Knit Princesses, all about knitting. So she just doesn't do web comics. She'll do it on knitting sites, something that's either directly or tangentially related to your comic. Mm-hmm. And that will bring people who may not normally read web comics in, but it's something that they may enjoy anyway.
And we also have access to comics across the entire spectrum of genres, of topics, and of readerships, because you've got, I know you're using it. Don't you? Yeah, you've got it.
I think
Bill has it. Scott Kurtz has it. Phil Folio has it. Randy Milholland has it. And from those heights all the way down to the ones that you have never heard of. So you've got the this broad spectrum of options for getting the word out about your comic.
Also, forums of other webcomics. You know, I tout 910 because that's what I work with. But, I mean, we are a community of webcomics that have some related, some not related, that work together.
And
the cross-pollination that we have helps promote everybody else.
And not even just webcomics panels. Any forums that or boards that you're posting on, put that in put your URL in your signature.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a car site, if it's a site about your work, what software you're using, things like that, put your URL in there.
Some banner
people
ad.
Will click on it.
Mm-hmm. Put your URL on a signature, but do not go into a forum and say, "Oh yes, I completely agree with what you guys are talking about."
And by the way,
you're gonna get
be more subtle. Yeah.
And fan art is always a great way to bring up advertising. We've said it before. Sending a piece of fan art to a webcomic person, that's going to make their day. Someone cares enough about my stuff to send me a piece of art. But it also means that you may get posted on their main page as a filler someday, or in their forums or in their galleries, and that will draw attention to all the people who read their comic as well.
I think maybe a filler comic more than a fan art, because they can use that comic strip for their day off.
Yeah, that's one of those things we'll agree to disagree on, because I think fan art introduces you, if you send a filler comic, mm-hmm. it's not completely out of the blue.
Okay.
Earlier y'all were talking about how a bunch of different comics went after Penny Arcade and did the gaming comic, and how that wasn't very good because there were so many of them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them have stayed and are also very successful. So do you think you shouldn't at all try to, not try, but if you have ideas that are similar to one that's already out there, you think you should try anyway, and maybe it'll morph into something else?
Find a new way of doing it. I mean, there's... You know, it's been said there's only 11 jokes in the whole world, and I've told every one of them several times. But and that was one of them. Thank you. Good night. find your own take on it. And
and make your own way.
A lot of people identify Devil's Panties with For Better or For Worse. They're like, oh, it's a woman cartoonist who's telling about her life. You know, you're just doing what For Better or For Worse did. And technically,
and Lynn Johnson also liked to use leaf blowers on guys with kilts too.
Yeah, little known fact.
Using my lines again, John.
Actually, she used snow blowers.
Snow blowers, right?
She's Canadian.
She's Canadian, yeah.
I don't know who said it, but follow,
so that was the
follow your bliss.
She's leaf blowers.
That's a quote from someone smarter than me. But again, don't if video games are your life and you want to do a webcomic. Do a video game webcomic. I mean, don't expect it to... Don't do webcomics to make money.
Don't let someone else is doing it prevent you from doing something like that if it's what you want to do.
There will always be Captain somebody Marvel. Who has done it before, whether or not you know about it.
Pablo Picasso said, good artists copy, great artists steal.
And whether they know it or not, I was accused of stealing Monkey Ninja Pirates from something called Monkey Android Pirate Zombies. And I have no idea where it was from, but apparently somebody else had done it. So whether or not you did, you probably have taken the idea from somebody else. So don't let that... And somebody's going to accuse you of stealing it from somebody else. So just, you know, do your own thing.
Surprise.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What is your feelings on this word? Cauliflower.
Have you taken homeschool physical education yet? Sex ed? No, you have. That's all I have to say about that. I just figured I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, and we all thank you for it too.
I for one support cauliflower.
It's good with Parmesan cheese, a little egg over top.
No, don't cook it too long. It just gets real.
Yeah, it gets mushy. Yeah. Gets mushy.
Oh,
yeah.
Like cabbage, it can go wrong real fast.
Hi. I just wanted to know what y'all thought about, like, you know, black and white comics versus color comics versus, you know, like mixed media.
Always keep in mind printing. Color is very hard to print.
It's expensive. It's expensive to print. That's the main thing. Not that it's hard to print. Yeah. It's expensive.
I also can't. I tried coloring and I couldn't. My sister called me up and said, "Stop it."
It all depends upon what you're trying to do. If you eventually want to go to print, yeah, black and white is probably the best thing to do. This is one of the things that Dan Scheib over at Elvina Scheib experimented with, whether to do straight line art, to do gray shading, or to do color. And he thought, well, if I do gray shading, I'll save me a lot of time of doing color. Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Do what you're comfortable with. Do what you think. And, yeah, definitely have plans ahead. I mean, if you want to eventually print your own color comic book, go ahead and do it in color. You can always use a few Photoshop tricks to make it a decent black and white comic. But, yeah, personally, I mean, comic book fan here. I like color. I like being able to see things that are different. I mean, except for 15 different shades of white.
Tom and I had a big argument, disagreement, over whether we should print in color or in black and white or in grayscale. I've put a lot of work into coloring the comic, and I wanted to see the color come through. And then I saw copy of Gold Digger collection, and even though he's done so much color, he did it in black and white. Mm-hmm. So,
although for the online stuff, you're not going to get better at it unless you try it. And I use the webcomic as just practicing drawing every day. So go ahead and you can always save it as black and white. Whenever I do post my comics, I have one bit of red in it. I save it as black and white, and then I save it again as color. Mm-hmm. I post the color online, then I print the black and white. So you can always, if you're not comfortable with color, but you still want to work on it, do a color Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And do it with layers so that it can be easily stripped out.
And do not just convert it to grayscale from color. It'll come out really dark and muddy.
Yeah. There are some techniques you can use to make it look better, but just a straight transfer from color to grayscale, blah.
Sorry.
Morning.
I'm standing this way. That'll work better because I'm going to hide that camera back there. So, Bill Holbrook, this question is for you. Hi, I'm Randall Schwartz, Floss Weekly.
Hi.
And Chris Kohler, his webmaster, was on my podcast a few weeks ago. If you didn't catch that, twitch.tv/floss. Put a plug in. And a couple of web comics too. We got Jeff Darlington, who does General Protection Files, and we also had the guy that does Help Desk. What's his name? Chris something.
Yeah, because there were two Chris's. Yeah.
Two Chris's, that was a problem,
that's
right?
That's right, that was a problem.
So one of the questions that was asked, I think I asked it actually, which is, did you, Bill, anticipate the web coming along as a, I don't know if this was answered already before, so excuse me, I just got in here, but did you anticipate the web and from to transferring from a print success to being on the web because the web was taking off, or was that just sort of accidental for you?
Well, no, because Fast Track is a computer strip, and I launched that in 1984, and some people have said I was kind of ahead of my time by
certainly ahead
that.
Of Scott Adams.
Right. Yes.
By 5 years.
Right. But because I was doing a computer strip, I was doing research in the computer field and following the development of what became the web every step of the way. And like I said earlier, it was in 1995 that I really launched Kevin and Kel to take advantage of what you can do with the web.
I mean, a lot of Bill's earliest strips harken to me from my BBS days. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could understand a lot of what Kevin was going through with those. And it's nice to see that I wasn't the only idiot out there that was having the same problems with all the people calling in.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Any other questions, comments, concerns?
Link?
Yes.
So there's the Penny Arcade game. Do you expect more crossovers in webcomics to happen? Or where do you expect the field to go next?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we've been working on over at Watch has been a Watch video game for the Nintendo DS. It's been in development for a few years, but I expect things like to do it. And in fact, we've been fortunate enough to have such talent as Rebecca Heinemann, who's been in the computer game field since the early 80s, help us and take over the project and bring some of her talent in. I do expect to see a lot more branching out of web comics into different fields. The Crosbys over on Keenspot, they've pitched a number of their web comics for movies. So yeah, we're not going to be locked down into just web comics and or print. We're growing.
And also, you have to remember, web comics economically are dependent upon ancillary merchandise. Web comics are unique in entertainment, in that the primary distribution method is a loss leader. With television, films, those media, there was somebody paying for the television episode. There was somebody paying the advertising. There was somebody paying for the production of the television episode or the movie. You would go and buy a ticket to see the movie. Web comics, we're putting it out there for free, and then we're hoping on the generosity of the readers that they will come and buy the ancillary merchandise and products that we have. So webcomics have to keep innovating and have to keep finding new products that are going to speak to their audience. And they're going to try things. Some of them are going to work. Some of them are going to fail. With Penny Arcade, it was perfect synergy for them to do games and conventions, which is going on right now in Seattle. And it's worked fantastically for them. So, yes, you are going to see that, and you're going to see things from webcomics. You're going to think, what the heck are they thinking? But it'll work. Some of them will work, some of them won't.
I want a Devil's Panties first-person shooter myself.
No,
walk around with a leaf blower?
Wait.
Apparently, that's already in a Chinese video game. Chinese, Japanese? Japanese video game. There is a Devil's Panties firing arm that is a contrary to... It's the off... what is it? The defense of the Angel's Briefs or his Angel's Lingerie. So apparently it already... No, that and there is a kilt-blowing video game that somebody developed.
So, we shall not name names here.
Rule 34?
I've been told this is our last question.
Aww.
Well, have a...
Better be good.
Yeah, better be good.
Where do we get our ideas from?
Just the pressure.
No.
How important is to go to conventions like within your first 2 years of doing a webcomic? Because I have a couple of friends who are doing a webcomic. I was just wondering, you know, how many conventions, like how big of conventions should they go to, or should they share tables, what, like stuff like that.
Are you talking as a dealer, as a guest, or as an attendee?
As an artist, like in the, like on an artist alley.
Artist alley.
That's a really loaded question.
Yeah.
I've gone to anime cons, sci-fi cons, furry cons, and sometimes my comic con, a lot of comic readers don't like my stuff because it's too anime. A lot of anime people don't like my stuff because it's not anime enough. And the furry guys don't like it because I don't do snouts anymore. We went to PhillyCon, Philly Wiz World.
Wiz World Philly, Philadelphia.
And everybody's like, oh, you got a new comic, can I buy one? Well, we're on the web. Well, how's that work? And cons, it really depends on your stuff. If you are very anime-based, yeah, absolutely go to an anime con. Try it out. If you're very furry-based, do that. But it totally depends on your comic. You have to find your niche.
I definitely think that if you... Oh, well, sorry.
No, I'm pretty much done.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll come back.
The way I did it, and the thing is, you don't... Everybody's different. Everybody succeeds in a different way. Some people succeed in doing the digital portion of it, selling ad space. Some people spend all their day in their house, but they do make a lot of money on selling the originals. I make my living at conventions and selling merchandise. So my first year, I was just building up backlog. You need something to sell. So you spend the first year building up the comic strips. The second year, you go walk a couple of conventions, have a flyers in your backpack, business cards, a couple of folded over and stapled examples of your work. Look at other people's tables. Notice what catches your eye, what interests you, what you want to buy, and write down what that product is and mm-hmm. make that. Little buttons and cute sayings and little shiny pieces of glass and marbles and blinky lights, and get an idea of what you want to sell at your table. Start off really cheap and easy, Kinko's type stuff, prints of work. You've printed out some pages or T-shirts with a funny saying on something. Nothing more than about $30, because you're not going to make the money back. Half table, share with friends, go in all in a van and sleep in the van in the parking lot. The elegant life of a webcomic artist that I did 3 years ago. Try to cut costs as much as you can, pack a lunch, do a local con, and figure out your shtick. I've got a hot pink card. It's hot pink because it catches the eye. It says, not satanic porn. It says satanic and it says porn. Does it matter what the rest of it means or says or whether it has anything to do with anything? It grabs the eye and you learn how to work a convention. You're going to learn it in your own style. Some artists find if they sit there and draw, that pulls people to the table. Some people find if they jump up and down and say, satanic porn and panties, then that draws the base people in. So you figure out your own style, and you build up slowly. The worst thing, I think Jeff Jacquez says from Question for Content, the worst thing that can happen is that you become a very fast success. Then you have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah.
You build it up gradually and you learn as you go, so you don't make any pitfalls like deciding that puzzles are going to sell really well.
Or calendars.
Calendars. I'm going to spend $2,500 on getting a whole garage full of puzzles. If anybody wants to buy one, they're over at the Hyatt. They're only $10.
Ask yourself three questions before you do a con as an artist. Have I been doing it long enough? I mean, seriously, if you just put your webcomic out there, do not get an artist table. No one will know, unless you're leading into the second question, am I good enough? Take an honest look at yourself.
And gosh darn it, do people like me?
Watch American Idol. The people up there who can't carry tune in 15 buckets think they're some of the best singers on earth. Take an honest look at your work. Are you really good enough? And the third question is... After I lost my point, let's see. Long enough.
And what is the airspeed of a laden swallow?
I don't know.
African or European? Yeah. I don't know.
Are you comfortable doing it? If you are, I mean, none of us are really shrinking violets up here. I mean,
I am.
Well. That actually leads to the same thing, because the more outgoing people are going to be a lot more comfortable working a table at a con. If you're good in sales, you're going to be good at a con. But if you are someone who likes to sit back and just draw, you're going to be bothered by people saying, ooh, what's that? And that just sets some bad friction and bad advertisement publicity for you. Have somebody else go with you who is comfortable with that, if that's what you want to do. But get, I mean, seriously ask yourself those three questions. If you can say yes to all three of them, honestly, then go for it.
I actually can't say yes to all three of them. I was terrified for the first 3 years. I still am. Before DragonCon, I'm sitting there going, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. What the crap? I'm not ready.
What was I thinking?
And then you put your game face on.
And this is important. If you're not an artist, unless you're really, really a good writer and known for about a dozen comics, don't bother. No offense. People,
there's no love for the writers.
Like, oh, do you do this comic? And Tom will say, no, I write it. Oh. Yeah. You're only a tracer. Less than that.
When we have a table, people come up all the time and ask for Darren for artistic commissions. I have yet to have one person come up to me and say, would you write a paragraph for me?
Neil Gaiman draws spooky eyes because people ask for his signature and little doodle. And he's like, I'm a writer. What the hell do you... I didn't draw Sandman. So he draws little spooky eyes.
I could draw spooky eyes. Someone got a mirror.
Well, I think at this point I'm going to ask you guys to please thank our artists for their time.
And writers, thank you.
And writers. You see, you just proved Tom's point. Here I go talking about no love for the writers.
Hey.
Okay, now it's time to thank the writer.
Now it's personal.
You guys didn't get the script, did you?
Musicians are artists, authors are artists, comic writers are artists. You're all artists.
Comic writers are
I didn't
well.
Say illustrators. I didn't say colorists.
Good enough.
I didn't say prostitutes.
Gosh darn it. You like us.
Yeah. Yeah, I could become a senator from Minnesota, too.
But seriously, thank you for coming, and it's always a pleasure, and that's why I'm always here. So
thank you. Great. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Make sure to stop by. See us at crossroads.ws.
Thank you.